Jerry Bader Show 1048. I was unaware of that. A loyal podcast listener, Jerry, one word at a time, a local podcast listener informed me he had some comments on yesterday's show because he, of course, listens to yesterday, today, or late last night, and said, podcasting, no one but Bader, since iHeart wants $10 a month to podcast the WISN folks. Really? So I assume that includes Vicki McKenna as well. That's probably an iHeart-wide policy, I would guess. $10 a month for podcasts. Roel, would you pay $10 a month to listen to my podcast? I don't think I would. Earl's like, sorry. We'll see how that works out for them. I was unaware of that. So if old What's-His-Face trashes me again, I'd have to pay $10 to listen to it? One, life is too short to hear a grown man throw a childlike temper tantrum. But two, I gotta pay $10 to hear someone insult me. Earl, we'll do it for free. Heck, I'll sit here and you'll do it for as long as I ask, wouldn't you? See, I don't need to pay to hear that. Now, our podcasts are, in fact, free. Now, watch, we get a memo we're going to charge for them. Because that would be my luck. Midwest Communications, effective August 1st. Just because that would be my luck. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, you'll keep the part-time host happy. You'll sit there and hurl insults at him. Anyway, I'm not surprised necessarily. You know that they've gone that route. I don't know if other radio companies have. That's interesting. I was not aware that they'd made that move. Which tells you how long it's been since I listened to any of their podcasts. All right. It is 10:50. A lot of things going on in Washington, D.C. to talk about them. We're joined now by 6th District Congressman Glenn Grothman. Congressman, good to talk with you again.
Glad to be on the show. We're going to be flying out of Washington in about an hour. Just got off the floor from voting for a reauthorization, which is not the actual spending, but a reauthorization with regard to the defense budget.
Well, talk about that. Talk about your feelings.
It's a significant spending increase. Quite frankly, a little more spending than I think is absolutely necessary. Donald Trump wanted an increase, and a lot of members of the Defense Armed Services Committee wanted a still larger increase, so they were given that increase. But if you do talk to people in the military right now, they will tell you a surprising fraction of the airplanes don't fly. I don't know how we can be spending that much money and having equipment not work, but that is what's going on right now, and therefore I went along with an increase. Donald Trump wanted a 5.5% increase to our defense budget. A lot of these people wanted significantly more, and at least this authorizes a significant more amount. So your listeners understand they do things kind of strangely in Washington. There is an authorization committee and an appropriation committee, and it's not really, you don't have the ability to spend it until it's appropriated as well as authorized.
So is there a number on how large you authorized, percentage-wise?
The authorization was $621 billion for next year.
Now, see, you mentioned this, that when President Trump proposed his increase, you did hear a lot of that from people who are defense advocates who said it just wasn't enough. You didn't agree with that, huh?
Well, I was prepared to vote for President Trump's budget. You got to remember, we do a budget every year here in Washington. There's going to be an audit of the Defense Department. Everybody in the Defense Department knows there's a lot of waste. And at a time when the average citizen is $60,000 in debt, any 5.5% increase is big. I was kind of hoping they'd settle for something like 6.5%, but it's larger than that. Like I said, you can go up next year. Right now, the intent is that we go up another 5% next year.
Talking with Congressman Glenn Grothman, I want to turn your attention to what's going on in the Senate. Yesterday, they released their latest version of the health care bill. There are still senators, though, that say they can't go on, get on board with it. And if, and it's a lot like in the House, some, you know, some moderates and some conservatives. Susan Collins says still deep cuts to Medicaid and Senate bill will vote no on MTP. Two, it does not, others are concerned, it does not fully repeal Obamacare, which I don't, you and I have talked about this, without using 51 votes, I don't think that's ever going to happen. What's your take on what's going on in the Senate?
Well, I to be honest, I've been in budget committee so much, sure, I don't know the details of the Senate bill, but I do think this. I think they've got to focus on overall cost. Whether you're looking at the cost to the government, whether you're looking at the cost to a business providing health care for its employees, or whether you're looking for the individual who's calling their insurance agent and say, how can I get health insurance? The overall cost of health care is too much in this society. Ted Cruz had an amendment, which I hope was attached on there. I don't know how the final amendment played out, allowing you to buy insurance as you want without mandates, which presumably will allow you, or will allow insurance companies to offer insurance for less than they do right now. Let's face it, if you're 58 years old and you call your insurance agent, you're making $35,000 a year, and the insurance agent says, I've got a policy for $1,000 a month and a $5,000 deductible, that is a practical matter. It's not affordable for you. And there are things we can do to make medical costs go down. The question is whether the bill deals with that, not just playing around with who pays for it.
It still seems, to me at least, less likely than more likely that I still, President Trump has told the Senate he's going to be very angry if there's not a bill. I'll admit I'm a pessimist that anything is going to get done on this. What's your take?
Well, something ultimately will have to be done because Obamacare is imploding. You know, there's by this time next year, I'm not sure what fraction of the American public will find it impossible to find even one health insurance company to give them coverage under Obamacare, but it will be significant. And as Obamacare completely collapses, something will be done. Now, maybe that something will be negotiating with Democrats and just putting a lot more money in the system. And given that we are broke, I'm not sure the answer is just putting a lot more money in the system. But as a stopgap, I have a feeling that that's what would happen.
Talking with Congressman Glenn Grothman, final question. Your neighbor to the north, 8th District Congressman Mike Gallagher, was on the show earlier this week, and he did talk about the email thread released by Donald Trump Jr. He called it very serious, hopes there's transparency. His big concern is he's often concerned, as Congressman Gallagher, that people don't take seriously enough the threat that Russia is to the United States, and that we probably shouldn't be taking meetings with someone who might be representing a member of their government. What's your overall thoughts on, I'll word it to you the way I did to Congressman Gallagher, how big a deal do you see that email thread?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll answer that in a second, but the one thing I'll tell you, I was asked to comment on this on a different radio show in another part of the state yesterday. And in the 4 days after that story broke, being in Washington, attending committee hearings, attending, going out to dinner with people afterwards, working out in the gym, wherever you see people, I did not hear one Republican congressman mention it. I didn't hear one Democrat congressman mention it either, which I thought was interesting given the huge amount of coverage it apparently was getting on TV. All we did here was talk about, you know, what's up in the Education Committee. We spent a lot of time talking on the budget, a lot of times on the defense appropriation bill, and nothing about it. That being said, it's important for the facts to come out. Russia is an important country that you cannot trust. I would never trust the Russians. On the other hand, it's a country you have to deal with. We share, you know, we've got a mess in Syria, which Donald Trump inherited. Insofar as we do something there, it's hard to imagine trying to do something without talking over things with the Russians, unless you want to go to war with Russia, because Russia is there now, I think, thanks to the incompetence of the Obama administration. But nevertheless, they're there. And I guess those are my comments on the topic.
All right. Congressman Glenn Grothman, we're out of time. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Always glad to be on the show and look forward to coming back to Wisconsin over the weekend.
All right. Yeah, it's indeed. All right, Congressman Grothman, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. 10:58. One thing I do want to say about that, though, and I understand and I agree with where Congressman Gallagher is coming from, that there are people on the right that, because of politics, they seem to be taking lightly the Russian threat. Here's something, though, that doesn't get said often enough. And this is what frustrates conservatives, and I get it. It frustrates me, too. Democrats only found religion on Russia out of political expediency. I haven't forgotten President Obama in 2012 mocking Mitt Romney during a presidential debate when he called it our greatest geopolitical or, you know, sovereign threat. The 80s called. They want their foreign policy back. I remember that. Democrats thought it was crazy the way we worried about Russia. And the only reason they do now is because of politics. And I understand why that frustrates conservatives, but it doesn't make Russia any less of a threat. 10:59. Have a lovely weekend, won't you?
Follow Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.